Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night, the 8:30 hour, and as we have been coming together for such a long time, it's now time for Wednesday night Bible study. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and it is a pleasure to be back with you again this week. I pray that everyone had a wonderful week. You know, I'm not saying that nothing happened or no trials or tribulations, setbacks, and things like that came in your life. But God has allowed you this opportunity to come together and explore and share the word of God one more time. And for that, I say thank you. Thanks to God and thanks to you. Thanks to God's Son and thanks to His Spirit and just thankful for another opportunity. As always, you know, it's a good thing to come together and fellowship in the Word of God. This is where we meet each Wednesday night for Bible study. And as always, I tell you guys that this is not my Bible study, but it is ours. And everyone can take a part. You know, some of you may could sing, some could pray, some can make comments about the word. You could tell a testimony. You could give a praise report. You could, you know, say something that God has done for you. You could ask everybody to pray for you for something you want God to do for you. But this is our Wednesday night Bible study hour. And I'm just so grateful and thankful that God gave me the opportunity to come before you. I want you to know that I decrease as the Holy Spirit increase. We asking that the Holy Ghost have his way in this place tonight. So many things is going on around the world and different things in each and every one of our lives. But I just want you to know that God is able. Not only is he able, but he's willing. And he said that he will see you through, but you got to trust him. As always, I want to give you the topic for the lesson tonight. The lesson is coming out of the book of Romans. We're going to be in the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. The book of Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. And the title of the lesson is, you have to remember, whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. Whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. So as we get ready to do with the lesson, as always, I ask if anybody would like to pray, maybe sing a song or whatever. If not, we're going to go to the throne of grace and make a petition known unto God. And then we'll come back and I'll play a song. And we'll go straight into the lesson. So if anyone would like to pray, you can press the one button on your phone. People who are listening by way of the internet, whenever you have something that you would like to say, you have to dial the number that's on the screen. And once you do, your phone line will come into the studio. And if you press the one button on your telephone, I can open your mic, and even though you're listening on the internet, you will be able to make your comments, questions, or concerns. So right now, we're going to go ahead and pray, and I just want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is one more time that you have given us the opportunity to come together. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the people that you allow to call in, because they call in week after week, and that's commitment. And I know you honor that, dear God. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon every family that's represented here tonight, dear God, and just bless them. Lord, there's a family that calls in, the Thompson family. And their brother died, dear God. I'm asking that you bless the family, dear God. I thank you for your son, because their brother Harry Thompson was saved, dear God, so I know he's going to have eternal life. Oh, what a joy it is. And, Lord, I'm asking that you look down on the family and strengthen him on every side. Heavenly Father, I just want you to go with us for the sick and the shut-in. Lord, go to the hospitals and any procedures that has to be done, dear God. I'm asking for your mercy and your grace. Heavenly Father, look down upon us. Look down upon everyone that's calling in, dear God. If they have any financial burdens, I'm asking if it's your will that you'll lift them. If there's any health situation, dear God, you said you'll be a doctor in the hospital. Dear Heavenly Father, if there's anyone with some trouble with the law or your children or anything like that, you say for you in the courtroom. Lord, we're going to trust you and we're going to hold on to your unchanging hand because, God, we can't make it without you. There's no other name besides the name of Jesus that we could call on and we can get an answer. Heavenly Father, you are a true and a living God. Lord, and tonight we just say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for all that you've done, what you're going to do, and what you promised to do. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, at this time, I'm going to play a song from Yolanda Adams. And the name of this record is Open Up Your Heart. You know, we come to Bible study and we listen. There's a scripture in the Bible say that be not only hearers of the word, but be also doers of the word. And even though you hear a word and you may know the word, until you let it penetrate your heart, until you embrace it and ask the Holy Ghost for illumination and revelation, it will stay in your head. And then when you get it in your heart, you will have an experience with God. So the name of this record is Open Up Your Heart. And after the song, we're going to come back and we're going to go into the lesson. Thank you and be blessed.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Yolanda Adams, open up my heart.
We trying to do the best that we can, hopefully, with the things of God. And it's just so important that we realize who our source is. We could go through life and we could go through every day. We could gain, we could get, but only what you do for Christ is going to last. And we have to remember, just because we love the Lord, it doesn't mean that we won't have trials, tribulation, and adversities. But you know, the Bible teaches us that no matter what we go through, it's who we go through it with. And no circumstances or situation have to overcome you, because the Bible said, in it all, God is working it out together for our good. But we have to trust him. And if God said it, he can do it. So again, for those who done called in after I gave the scripture a little earlier, it's coming from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, the first and the second verse. And it says, whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. I always like to do background, and of course, some of you know and some of you may hear it for the first time, the book of Romans was written by Paul. You see, Paul understood that he could no longer conform to this world or the law. You see, Paul was living under the law, and he was doing what he was taught under the law. But he said he could no longer conform to the word or the law or the errors of the teaching that he had received. You know, they say, until once you know better, you do better. You see, Paul allowed the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, along with the Word of God, to transform him by the renewing of his mind daily. Paul was a prosecuted the Christians. Paul's religion taught that anybody who believed in Christ was against God, and they called it blasphemer against God, and they thought they was helping God, and they thought they was doing God a favor, and they would take the Christians who had begun to believe in Christ, and they would kill them, and they would jail them, they would beat them, they would do anything they wanted to them, and the law was all right with it. But you see, Paul was doing that, you know, and that's what he believed, you know. But Paul wanted to please God at any cost. After he was transformed, Jesus met Paul on a road to Damascus, and he called him by name, and he asked him why he was persecuting his Christians, and Paul didn't know what he was talking about, and he explained to him, and he explained who he was. He was the Christ. He was the Savior, and what he came to do and what happened to him on a cross, and he told Paul all about it, and Paul began to believe it, and then Paul wanted to please God at any cost, you know. But the funny thing about this, Paul was prosecuting the Christians. So this should let you know, the thing that I'm fixing to say, this should let you know, even though Paul was not living a life looking for Jesus, Jesus had already came and gone, and Paul still believed his teaching, his religious teaching from the Judaism. But Paul wasn't looking for Christ, but Christ came looking for Paul. And it wasn't just Paul that Christ came looking for. Christ came looking for each and every one of us. We didn't go looking for him. And even though that's what Paul was doing, God had an ordained purpose for Paul before the foundation of the world. You see, when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and it was after Jesus had died and resurrected and went back to be at the right hand of the Father, that he met Paul in the Spirit, and he taught Paul, and Paul's life was changed, and Paul transformed his mind, and Paul no longer believed in the law and Judaism, but he began to believe in salvation and grace through Christ Jesus. You see, this is the attitude we should all have and strive to glory God with our living. Turn away from the world and allow the Word of God to fashion us for God's service. See, that's what Paul did. he turned away from the world and he allowed the word of God to fashion him. Because Christ had given him a new life, Paul said he wanted to transform and renew himself into the new life that he has given us. God has given each and every one of us, you know, they say we are new creatures. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. And we have that through Christ Jesus. God has done his part, and we have to begin to do ours. You see, this should be our goal in our new life, to conform, renew, transform our lives, and learn to live as a living sacrifice. And now we go into the scriptures. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, what is this saying? You see, under the old covenant, which was the law, God accepted the sacrifices of animals. But these were not just, you know, these were just a foreshadowing of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, God allowed that in the Old Testament. Jesus had not been born. And the sacrifices couldn't take away the sins, but they covered them. But God used that to show them these sacrifices is not good enough to get you salvation. These sacrifices is not to get a relationship with me because sin has to be removed. But I'm going to show you that even though I'm accepting these and allowing it to count for you and to help you right now, I'm going to give you one good sacrifice that's going to take care of all of the needs. You see, because of his ultimate one-for-all-time sacrifice on the cross, the Old Testament sacrifices became obsolete. So if anybody ever wondered if they did that in the Old Testament, why we don't do it now, because there's no need to. You see, and those sacrifices and those laws are no longer in effect. Now, I'm not telling you that the laws are not in effect, and so many of the laws we couldn't do even if we wanted them. Because some people want to abolish everything. Some people don't even want to use the Old Testament because they say we don't live under the law, we live under grace. But if there's a law and it has morality behind it, it does not go away. If you look at the Ten Commandments, which was the first laws given, if they say honor your mother and father, what would you say, throw that away and then don't honor your mother and father? Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the law, but I came to fulfill it. In other words, all them laws was to help you to live right. He said, I'm going to show you how to live right. I'm going to leave my spirit and put it within you that you can live right. And I'm going to provide everything for you to live right. See, that's the difference. Hallelujah. For those who are in Christ by virtue of saving grace, by faith we receive grace. See, you cannot get grace without faith. Faith activates the grace. You see, the only acceptable worship and sacrifices to offer ourselves In this new age and in the New Testament, we don't sacrifice lambs and bulls. We sacrifice ourselves. When you say sacrifice ourselves, what are you saying? You see, under God's control, the believer yet unredeemed body can and must be yielded to him as an instrument of righteousness. You know, you're not doing good to be saved. Jesus took care of that on the cross. If you accept him by faith, you receive the grace. So you're not trying to be so good to be saved. You are grateful and thankful for what God did, that he sent his son and his son suffered in our behalf and he took our sins upon himself. When you look at Jesus with those eyes, how could you not want to please him? You're wanting to please him become a sacrifice. You see, in view of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us, you know, this is only reasonable. This is only reasonable. Come on now, y'all. You know, have you ever stopped to think about what God expects of his people? as how to live, what we should do and what we should not do. You should remember that all sacrifices which was brought to the altar was of the highest quality, first class, and had to be acceptable unto God. Okay, let's use that. When God decided to let Jesus be a one-time sacrifice, he had already said how sacrifices should be. So when I viewed the word of God and they said about the sacrifices, they had to be high quality, not know anything. And it had to be first class, and the sacrifices had to be acceptable unto God. So if we're going to become a living sacrifice, we should be of high quality because we should know who our daddy is. I didn't say rich, I didn't say famous, but whatever state you in, be the best you could be. Be the best, the highest that you can be, being you. And, of course, submitting and obeying. It should be first class. That's how the sacrifices had to be then, and that's the way our sacrifice to God has to be now. And it has to be acceptable. So you would have to ask yourself, the way you live, the things you do, the things you say, the places you go, the way you act, you know, is it acceptable to God? Nah, if we was doing a report card, I'm not going to say everybody have an A+. But are you striving? Are you conforming? Are you transforming? It didn't say transform. It said transform, and that means it's an active process. Come on now. Jesus was sinless, which made him a perfect living sacrifice. You see, because the bulls, the goats, and all of that couldn't do it, God said to redeem man, I need a man. So God, in his ultimate wisdom, decided to come down on earth and be wrapped up in flesh, incarnated into Jesus Christ. That's why we believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all make one. And God did this because it had to be a perfect sacrifice and no man could do it. And as Jesus Christ, the incarnated God, decided to walk on the earth, he walked holy and acceptable unto Christ and even unto death. You'll say, well, then, well, if Jesus was God, or Jesus was the Son of God and came from heaven, it would be easy for him to do that. But he was just as much man as he was God. He had flesh on his body. And for those who know it, flesh is where sin dwells. Sin dwells in the flesh. So when Jesus was wrapped up in flesh, and he had just as much man as he had God, he could have messed up. But you see, he continued to be holy and acceptable unto God because he wanted to please him. He understood that everything would be all right, no matter what circumstance or situation. Yeah, they spit in my face. Yeah, they're going to nail me to the cross. But he looked for the gift of eternal life where he's going to reign as king. We have to look to the hills which come in our help. We have to look for what God is going to give us when this old earth passes away. Because believe me, it will. Not only the earth, the heavens, the earth, and everything in it is going to be burned by fire, melted up, and it's going to be gone. So what would be a bad mistake to live your life any kind of way? And here now comes the day of judgment. You see, this life seemed long to us, but God says it's only a vapor. There's nothing in this world. There's no time that this world could provide that could even add up to eternity. You see, we ought to take on the image of Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us. The whole Bible is asking us to take on the image of Christ. Be holy. Do your best. Do the things Jesus did. That's why they had that saying now, what would Jesus do? You see, and you got to be a living sacrifice to be Christ-like. But we can never be Christ. Listen to what I said. Image, yes. Never be Christ. And you couldn't. And let me tell you why God wouldn't give us enough power to do everything just like Christ. Because first of all, we'll start thinking we equal. And second of all, we'll show enough folks. God ain't going to share his glory with you or me. That's why they say a Christian is to be Christ-like. We could take on that image of Christ. We can't take and be Christ. You see, once we accept Jesus Christ, God began working in us. You see, because Philippians 2 and 13 say, it is God that worketh in you to will and do your good pleasures. It said, once you accepted Christ, God began to work on you, to mold and shape you into his intended purpose that he had designed for you before the foundation of the world. The Bible didn't say it was up to you. The scripture says, go to it, Philippians 2 and 13 says, it is God that worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasures. But you just got to submit. You got to cooperate with him. He got that. We trying to do things and think we doing so much and we think we this and we think, you know, we read the Bible and we think, you know, God got to be happy and we get on our knees and we believe he got to be happy. None of this don't change God. God's going to be God if you don't never do it. He told you and put this stuff in place for you. Now, you see, let's take a look at the life of something that's a good sacrifice and a not. You see, we have the story of Cain and Abel so we can see what's a good and acceptable sacrifice and what is not and what happened when it's not. You see, Cain made a perfect sacrifice unto God. And the scripture in Genesis 4 and 3 says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of his sorrow as an offering to God. And the fourth verse said, but Abel brought fat portion from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. And the fifth verse said, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. When we do things our way and don't follow God's plans, we will wind up in trouble. I'm going to say that again. When we do things our way and don't follow the plan of God, we will get in trouble. I know every time I got in trouble in my life and getting in trouble these days is when I decide to do what I want to do. And when you decide to do what you want to do, that means you're doing it your way. And it never produced anything good. Now, even with saying that, the Bible does not say why God rejected Cain's sacrifice. You see, perhaps Cain's attitude was improper. You know, you could give God some things and you could give it to him and you could be giving it to him right, but you won't give it to him. You don't feel like giving it to him. You might even think he don't deserve it. You see, so when you give something to God, he even investigates the attitude. How many times they say, oh, they asked me to do this at the church and something like that. I'm going to do it, but I sure don't feel like it. Everything that God allows to come your way is an opportunity. And he say, accept it joyfully. And then again, you got to remember, it's okay to say no. It's better to say no than to say yeah and have an attitude. The Bible say, let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. You see, when you say yes and don't want to do it and should have said no, it caused conflict. It caused mumbling and grumbling, and God does not like that. You see, so maybe his attitude wasn't right, or perhaps his offering was not up to God's standard. We don't know. The Bible don't say. You see, it might not have been his first fruit or his best of his sacrifice. And then he was sacrificing vegetables and fruits, I imagine, because he was a farmer. And that kind of sacrifice, you know, there's no blood. And I'm not saying either one of these because, again, I tell you the Bible didn't say. And whatever the Bible don't say, you know, you can make a guesstimation. You know, I'm not telling you that that's why God didn't accept it. I'm just giving, you know, some possibilities of maybe why. Because remember what I say, the Bible did not say. And when the Bible don't say something, don't add to it. And what it say, don't take away from it. You see, Abel brought his firstborn firstborn with that portion because he was glad to give it back to God because he realized that God had given it to him in the first place. God evaluates both our motives and the quality of what we offer him. When we give of ourselves as a living sacrifice, we should have a joyous heart because of what we have to give. First of all, if you got a lot to give, that means he gave you a lot. Everything belongs to God. We are only steward. To whom much is given, much is required. If you got a lot and could give a lot, don't grumble. Thank God for the, because you got the lot to give. We should not worry about how much we are giving up. For all things are God's in the first place. Instead, we should joyously give to God our best time, money, possessions, and talent. An acceptable sacrifice was holy to God then, and it is holy to him now. We should let our light so shine that men could see our good works and glorify the Father. Everything that God has given you, everything God allows you to do is for his glory, not yours. Come on now. We are his people. Just like a parent like to see what their children do and get glory from it. What more you think God want? Now, how you think God want to see us operating in a world that he created and then he sent his son and we accepted his son and he done separated us from the world. He said we could be in the world but not of the world and we should be peculiar people. We should look different. They should see some change in our lives. And that's what give him glory. If we say that we are his, we should have evidence, some evidence, in the way we live. The Holy Spirit is working in you, helping you to develop in all areas of your life so that you could become a living sacrifice. The Holy Ghost is in there, and he's doing his job. But we have to learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You see, we live in a world, but we don't act like the world or be of the world. We have to become disciplined in the way we live. You know, discipline is sometimes hard, but necessary to produce change. God has taken us out of darkness, and he has placed us in a marvelous light. So when you study the word of God, you should become doers. And don't remain just hearers. You need Christian growth. He wants you to mature in the things of God. If you joined church 50 years ago and you're at the same level, you probably haven't reached your maturity because it's a process. It is true that no person is perfect, and we know that God is working on us. But it is also true that Christians are to live as obedient children, not conforming ourselves to the form of lust. Just that in itself. You know how you had, you know, plenty of people say, you know, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. Very good. You know, but you're going to have something that, first of all, that you've been doing forever, and second of all, you're going to stop doing the things that you used to do, and then you turn back. You know, you did those things in ignorance. And if you're doing it now, what are you doing it in? Probably still ignorance. Because, you know, the Bible says some people will be ever learning but never coming into the knowledge of the truth because they allow the word to go between the gaps in their ears and it gets stuck in their head and never reach their heart and there's no change. But he that is called you is holy. And he expects us to be holy. We have to learn many of the things we used to do that we don't do no more. It's because of change, the transformation in our lives, the learning and growing and loving on God more to want to please him. You see, Christ allowed us to have a new life, and because of what he did, we should want to live as a sacrifice which will please him. I'm not asking you to stop living a joyous life, fun-filled life, but you must do it at God's standard. You can do whatever you need to do. Just do it with God's standard. Start out with the end in mind that you want to please God in whatever you do. and use the word of God to help you plan and do your joyous, fun-filled life. We must watch the things that we do, not to cause someone else to stumble or get tripped up. You've been on a battlefield forever, and some of the things you do with the younger, you know, Christian looking at you doing it, they think it's all right to do, and they don't grow in that error because they might think you really got it going on with God, and if God can't help you in that area, how would he help them, and they're not where they think you are? You know, we must be willing to become a living sacrifice every day. This is a long-term commitment. We cannot take vacations, no time out. We can't take our righteousness and put it on a shelf and pick it up when it's convenient. And there is no leave of absence from your responsibility. But it's always unto death. And after death, Jesus got something else for you. Hallelujah. People are looking at you, and they're reading you because they ain't going to read the Bible. Be presentable to God in all of your deeds and action. You see, the Apostle Paul was not just speaking of our physical bodies, but our entire person, our body, our mind, and our soul. I'm going to ask you right now to ask yourself how were you before you met Jesus, and how are you now? And I have to tell you, if everything is the same, then something is wrong. No Christian growth. The more we present ourselves unto God, the more Christian growth we will gain. More maturity will be established, and we will be strengthened in the things of God. God has done and is doing his part. What about you? God's purpose for your life can only be accomplished once you totally submit, because you got to remember, whatever you're feeding, that's what's going to grow. If you're feeding gossip, it's going to grow. If you're feeding unforgiveness, that's what's going to grow. If you're feeding evil, it's going to definitely grow. If you're feeding love, it's going to grow as well. Because, you know, the word of God say, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And tonight I say, whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. If you want to start feeding a good attitude, keep having a good attitude. And that attitude of goodness is going to grow. You see, once we accept Jesus, God has a good and perfect plan for us. Christians are called to not conform any longer to the patterns of the world with its behavior and customs that are selfish and often corrupt. Do you consider worldly behavior off limits? When we see the world conform, it means to be fashioned as something. When we use the word conform, you know, generally it means to be fashioned as something or someone else. Also, it means that you accept and agree with that thing, whatever it is, good or bad. That's almost like perception and reality. You see, the world views should never become our guide for living as a child of God. Just look around. Anything goes. The Holy Bible is our daily instruction for our daily living. Let the Word of God become your compass. What does a living sacrifice look like in a practical sense? Well, we are a living sacrifice for God by not being conformed to the world. And I'm going to tell you, the world is defined in the Bible for us as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see, the lust of the flesh includes anything that appeals to our appetite and involve excessive desires for food, drink, sex, and anything else that satisfies the physical body. As long as there's flesh on our body, flesh will crave for fleshly things. And sin dwells in the flesh. Sin can only dwell in the flesh because you only have flesh and spirit. That's your body makeup, and your the sin ain't going to dwell in your spirit. So it only dwells in your flesh. And you see, lust of the eyes mostly involve materialistic things, coveting whatever you see that just coveting. Want everything you see that you don't have, and envying those who have what you want. Remember, the pride of life is defined by the ambition for that which puffs us up and puts us on a throne of our own lives. You know what I call those kind of people? Legends in their own mind. You see, transformation demands change. Therefore, transformation is not always a good thing unless it is done properly. Paul states this transformation should take place by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because Satan plays all his tricks in the boardroom of your mind. You know, Satan can't come and strike you dead. And remember, with all, you know, Satan still have tricks, and Satan, you know, get in some of us. It is real. But you remember, Satan also have to go to God for permission for anything that he does. Remember when Satan wanted to test somebody, he went to God and asked God. And then God told him, use Job. But God told him how far he could go. Come on now. And that's the same thing God is doing with you. So Satan, remember, Satan can only get in your mind. And I like to use this phrase, you know, a thought in and of itself is not nothing. It's what you do with the thought once you think it. You know, we have all kind of thoughts come in our head, good, bad. You know, and some of the thoughts we have, we know it's bad and we don't want to do it, but we still do it. But Satan can only trick you in the boardrooms of your mind. The only way that Satan can work on us or through us is in our mind. I like to tell Satan, you know, all during the day, because, you know, some stuff come in my mind. I don't know about you guys, but it comes up. My old man just staying up at attention every chance he get in my mind. And I just tell him, if you didn't get me back then, you won't be able to get me now. You know, people always say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. But in rebuking him, we must understand what he's trying to do. If you pay attention, you will learn Satan's tricks and tactics. The Bible said we should think on things that are lovely, think on things that are pure, think on things that are good, a good report, so that our mind can be acceptable unto God. Did you ever think you have to get your mind acceptable unto God? And for your mind to be acceptable unto God, you should only be thinking a certain way. If we read the word of God, we will know the will of God, because the Bible says, whatever a man thinketh, so is he. And as a man thinketh, that's what he'll be. But God is there to help you. The Holy Ghost is constantly trying to guide you. God is doing his part, and it's time for us to do ours. Remember, whatever you feed, that's what will grow. And I'm going to close with this tonight. You know, the world applauds sin. Hollywood encouraged us to envy sinners and foolishly compare ourselves to these people. Ever tried about trying to be like the Kardashians, women, you know? Everybody trying to really, even in a sense, have what they have. And how you think you're going to have what they have when they making them big old bucks? So you're going to take your little bitty bucks and try to get as close as you think you can, and you'll only be fooling yourself. And you can let people be, you know, Hollywood be Hollywood. Because we know and we learn through the word of God that everything is not for everybody. You see, often the popularity of stars is due to their ability. Watch this. The popularity of stars is due to their ability to store up dissatisfaction with your own life. And that's amazing. And it's working for them. And I'm going to read that again. Often the popularity of stars is due to their ability to store up dissatisfaction with your own life. Advertisers prey on the natural tendency of love of the world when they make these commercials. Y'all know everything has gone crazy. And most marketing campaigns in some ways address the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. But God tells his children to set their priorities according to his eternal value system. And you might say, Sister Diane, what is the eternal value system? Well, it's found in the book of Matthews. It's in the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse. And that eternal value system in Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it says, if you do that, all things will be added unto you. And you remember, all things is going to pass away. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. And you got to remember, when the Christians goes to the judgment seat of Christ, they, you know, God will not be judging if you save or not save, because if you accept Christ, your salvation is already sealed by the Holy Ghost, and that's in place. That's there. That's straight. That's like we say. That's tight. Ain't nothing gonna mess with that. Can't touch that. But when you go to the judgment seat of Christ, and you are a Christian, he's not gonna judge your sin. He's going to judge your deeds, not in reference to salvation, but in reference to your eternal life. You know, the old people say, I'm sending up timber for my mansion. You know, and people say, I'm trying to put stones in my crown, because God is going to want to know what you did for me lately. But you're saved, you're going to be saved. I'm not saying that the judgment seat of Christ is going to determine your salvation. Because if you get to the judgment seat of Christ, now there's a lot of judgment seats, but if you come before the judgment seats of Christ, it's already saying that you're saved. So you know at that seat they will not be judging your sins. That's another lesson. And if you want it, before the program over, I ask you a question and you can see. But if you get to the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to judge your deeds and your works, not your sins. And he's not judging your deeds or your work for you to be saved. He's judging it for your position in eternity. So you keep that in mind. And always remember that only what you do for Christ will last. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to make comments, anybody have any prayer requests? anybody want to comment on the lesson? So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and say a closing prayer. But those who want to still stay on, I think I have a Christmas record lined up since we're in the month of December. And as we fastly approaching the Christmas holiday, I'm just going to remind you to keep Christ in your season. And you have to always say, Jesus is the reason for the season. And you have to know that the world is trying to take that away as well. You might have never paid attention when they made the abbreviation for Christmas. And people write it, they don't think nothing of it. They might even buy Christmas cards with it on it. But when they say it, Xmas, they took the Christ out of Christmas. That's what that X stands for. It's almost like they want the idea of Christmas because that's where they make all their money. But they're not concerned about the Christ part. So they're going to make an abbreviation for the word Christmas, and they came up with an X. So that means they X'd out the Christ. We have to be paying attention to this world that we live in. You may have never thought of that, and you may know it. But those kind of things is what we have to be mindful of. Because they had one lady that put in a request or a law to take prayers out of the school. One lady. Prayers out of school in the United States of America. And she succeeded. You know, and where were the Christians? Where was the fight? I mean, she did it. I want to make a shout out to all my out of town customers. I see your numbers on the phone. I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. And that's a shout out, but I also thank everybody in the city and surrounding parishes as well. But I see all of the error codes on the phone, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful. So at this time, we're going to do the benediction prayer, and I'm going to play songs. If after a song is being played or while it's being played, and God put it on your heart to say something to the other listeners, you can still press the one button on your phone. I can see it light up, and I'll stop the music if the music is over, and you'll still be able to talk. So let us go to the throne of grace right now. Dear Lord God, I just want to thank you for this opportunity where your people could come together and explore the word. I thank you for your son. I thank you for your spirit. Lord, I thank you for mercy, and I thank you for grace. Lord, I pray that the word that went forth on the night, that the people don't just hear it, but begin to do it. Lord, I pray that the word won't return void. And as they meditate on this word tonight and during the week, that the Holy Ghost step in and give them illumination and revelation. I always state, dear God, because I know it's true that any man should boast, that I can only give information and you give revelation. That I decrease as you increase and you have your way. Lord, you say that it is you that work in me, the willing to do your good pleasures. Work in me, dear God. Mold me and shape me into the intended purpose you had designed for me, and not just me, but for everyone. Bless the sick and the shed in. Bless the people in prison, dear God. Bless people who's going to have all kind of circumstances in their life, dear God. Help them right now. Let us keep our focus on you, dear God. Teach us, guide us, that we may not sin against thee. Lord, I pray that the word edified your people, that Satan was horrified and you was glorified. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And thank God. Well, that's the benediction prayer. And like I say, I'm going to play some Christmas music. Well, Go Tell It on a Mountain by Fred Hammond. But if anybody would like to say anything, just press the one button on your phone, and I'll be back with you.
pray that you were blessed. I pray that you had a word to use. I pray that you have a desire to become what God wants us to be. We marching into a brand new year. We have 3 weeks and a few days until it's 2015. And who would have thought we would still be here? But God see fit. So with that, I want to say I thank you for calling in. I pray that you were blessed. I pray that you come back on next week. And I guarantee you that God will meet us here. I just want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And since there's no callers trying to make any comments, I'm going to tell you guys good night and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. See you next week, same time, same station. Oh, I have a caller that want to speak. Caller, your number is 504-858. Your mic is open. You may speak at this time.
Hi, Diane. It's Steve, sir. I just was calling to listen to your show. Thank you for everything. And my sister.
I can't hear you. What you say, baby?
Thank you. Thank you. This is Easter.
Okay.
Can you hear
me? I can hear you a little bit. Go ahead.
I was just calling to thank you.
That was my pleasure, just, baby.
You're welcome.
And we lifted up your family, and we thank God for Harris. Well, I thank God for Harris' salvation and his trust in God, the way he lived his life. And that's what the lesson tonight was, living as a living sacrifice. It's not that you'll be perfect, but you put God in the forefront of your life. And that's what God expects for that. And that was evidence in Harry's life. So we don't have to worry where he is. We know God loves him and he will be with God, you know, and that's the blessing. But I pray for strength for your family, for to go through everything and to heal your wounds of as you grieve. And we offer that up. If you was on the line early in the prep. So I say just be blessed, and I ask everybody that they will pray for your family, and that's what we should do. We are a Wednesday night Bible study. We have to learn to become a family. God has put this together, and it's for us to do things for one another. So it was my pleasure, and I thank God for you and your family. You know, I thank God for the friendship that we have had. Just as long as I know myself, I know you. And that's nothing but a gift from God. God gives us friends. They don't just happen.
Yeah.
That's been a long time, and we're still friends. And I thank you for that. And
thank
also
you
your
too.
Family and friends and everybody.
And thank you.
Thank you, and be blessed.
Right.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
If anyone else would like to say something at this time, you can press the one button. I'll open a mic. If not, that's our lesson for tonight. And I'll hope to be with you on next week if God says the same. I love each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen.